The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Under the leadership of the Holy Spirit about the church. So today, I'm really kind of following up on what we did last week. And I've titled the message for today is, how does the new church function? How does the new church function? I was going to say, how does New Beginnings Church function, but it sounded redundant. So just, how does the new church function? And let's look at Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Whoa, man, I can even read that up there. I used to have that little bitty monitor down here. I couldn't read it, so I had to turn around. It said, Philippians says, not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards a goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word. As always, it is meat and drink to us, and we are eternally thankful that you provided your word for us, even this day. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus our Lord. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Okay, I do have one little thing here. No, I don't. Oh, yes, I did. I wanted to say, this is very important. I got this on the internet, and you guys really need to know about this. I guess I just need to do it. Harriet, the church gossip and self-appointed supervisor of the church's morals, kept sticking her nose into other people's business. Harriet. Several members were unappreciative of her activities, but feared her enough to maintain their silence. She made a mistake, however, when she accused George, a member, of being an alcoholic after she saw his pickup truck parked all afternoon in front of the town's only bar. She commented to George and others that everyone seeing it there would know that he was an alcoholic. George, a man of few words, stared at her for a moment and then just walked away. He said nothing. Later that evening, George quietly parked his pickup truck in front of Harriet's house and left it there all night. George, you need to be ashamed of yourself for doing that. Oh, my heaven. Thank goodness we don't have a Harriet in the church. I thought you might appreciate that. Well, we're organized, we're galvanized, we're sanitized and sanctified. I mean, we've done everything we can in the last couple of months to get ourselves ready for the work that God has called us to do. And let me encourage you to be here this Wednesday night. If you are a worker in the church, if you have a job, if you went to the classes, if you took the test, you must, that's just the way you do it, Wayne, you must be here. You'll be here Wednesday night. Because if you're not here promptly at 7 o'clock, you're going to miss it. Because we may be calling your name and you don't know it yet, all right? So be here Wednesday night. How did I do, Wayne? Good? You like that? All right, good. Man, I like this new me. It's a new church, the new way we function. Paul understood that the new church he was building, he understood what it was to be like and what God was speaking to his heart about. And what he was doing was different, as I told you last week, than anything that had ever been done before. It was a new beginning, the really new beginning, because it was the birth of the church as we know it today. He was willing to put everything on the line for what he believed in. And you know what? That's the way we need to be in our lives when it comes to the kingdom of God and the church of God and our calling of God. We need to be willing to put everything on the line. What we've done is we've walked up to the line and then we just kind of walk back from it. You know, not making that total commitment to do what God has called us to do. Well, our new church, the New Beginnings Church, is a church filled with people of commitment who are willing to do what God has called them to do. He overcame several things. He overcame his own personal belief system. He was a Pharisee. You read in Philippians, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but you can go home and read it. He was a Pharisee. He had to put his belief system behind him for what God was teaching him, something new. All right? He had to put his own nationalism aside. He was a Jew. And there was just things that Jews didn't do. And he was willing to put that on the side for what God had called him to do. And he even had to change the way he felt about his enemies. And his enemies were the Gentiles, as I told you last week. You know, I guess to put it in context of today, it's like saying we'd have to quit the church that we believe in. We'd have to give up our American flags. And we'd have to go and start believing that the Taliban can be saved. That's just about what it was. It was so dynamic and so different from anything that had taken place before. But because of Paul, because of others just like him, down through the ages, we have had an impact on our world. But in the last years, we've just gotten complacent about some things. And it's time, and we have done that. We have put our shoulder to the wheel. We've put our hand to the plow. We have said, "Here am I, Lord, send me." And God is beginning to use us in great ways. We're beginning to see the unfolding of God's Spirit in our lives. God is moving in us and through us. So we're following in the footsteps of Paul. He understood that the high calling of what God had called him to do was worth the price. You know, there's very few people in the world who are willing to pay the price for what they believe in and really do what needs to be done. Those who do usually accomplish the task that they're set out to do. When they have that fire within them, the burning. You know, we all often think of, the old expression we use, you can't change City Hall. You can't change the system. But people who have a burning desire and are willing to pay the price do change City Hall. Sometimes for the good, such as when we have laws like Megan's Law, which helps protect children against abuse. And then for the worse, with people who Jane Doe was very instrumental, one woman, of putting abortion into our land. So it can go good or bad, but we have to make up our mind to do what God's called us to do. All right? So that's what Paul did. And I want us to talk in our time that we have this morning. We talked about change last week. And this way I want to look about the direction of that change and where God is taking us. All right? First thing I want to talk about, we know what doesn't work. We know what doesn't work. And we forget it. We forget what doesn't work. Let's look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I might gain Christ. Boy, what a statement that is, huh? That's a guy who really put everything on the line. Said, everything I had before, all of my education, all of my religious practices, all the accolades that I had in life, I put them down. Paul, you see, prior to this statement, had been very zealous, but he was zealously wrong. What he did with a zeal, but he was wrong. But when he found out the truth, he decided to put everything aside. He put aside his traditions. You know, some of our traditions need to be put aside. Not all of them, But some of them, if they're not producing the fruit of God in us, in the kingdom, we need to put those things aside. And we need to decide what they are and get rid of them. If they're not working, get rid of them. If there's a better way, let's go the better way. And that's what Paul did. He took his trophies and put them aside. All the accolades, all the titles, all the things he had received. He was willing to put those things aside for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That cost him something. You know, some of us have trophies in our house we don't want to get rid of. You know, because they've become icons to us. We have behavior patterns that are icons to us, and we don't want to turn them loose. We don't want to change. But to get the work done, we must change and forget some of those old ways. Some of us have titles. We need to get our titles and get rid of them. You know, titles tend to hinder us. They make us think more highly of ourselves than we should. You know, we're very good. I don't know about any of you. Forgive me if I'm stepping on anyone's toes. But I used to work for a bank many, many, many years ago. And what the bank was real great about doing, instead of giving you money, they'd give you a title. You know, just, you know, they would call you something. I remember one time I went in to see my boss and I asked for a raise and I got a title. I didn't get any money. You know, and sometimes the titles will do that. We give people titles, but we don't really give them what they really, really need. Now, it's difficult to admit when we're wrong, and it's difficult to leave the old ways behind. But there comes a time when we need to leave the old ways behind and go on to where God has called us to go. The old won't work, and we need to abandon it, all right? We need to let those things go that hinder us. I'll tell you a little story. Some of you know this, but others wouldn't know the story. We used to have our church building was over on Fremo. We had a nice little building. Those of you who were there when we put it together, the first time we walked in that building, it would make you want to be sick. I mean, it was a wreck. I mean, it was a mess from the ceiling to the floor. And we remodeled that place literally from the ceiling, the light fixtures, all the way down to the carpet and everything in between. We remodeled. We made a beautiful building out of that place. So those of you who were there with me would testify how nice it was. We really enjoyed it. We had more room. We had about a third more room than we have here. And I really liked that place. And it was cheap. She's right. The rent was $500 a month. And I loved that place. I loved the price. The utilities were low. It was an easy building to maintain. It was just really good for us. We had plenty of parking. It was in a good location. But they sold the building out from underneath us and the new people threw us out. You know, I mean, we were out on the streets and we had to find a place. And I looked and I looked and I looked. I looked all over town. I didn't want to leave and I found this place. And it was smaller. The location was, you know, maybe better, maybe not. It was a 50-50 as to what it was. But the rent went from $500 a month to $2,000 a month. How would you like the rent or your note on your house to go up by that much? That'd make you really shake, wouldn't it? I didn't want to leave. I didn't want to move. And some of the people that were with us said, Pastor, we don't want to move. We don't want to move. Well, I didn't want to move either, but we had to. And as it turns out, this was to our betterment, not to our detriment. This actually turned out to be a better place for us. We've had more people come to this church who just drove by and saw our sign and saw what was going on here and stopped. So at that time, Fremo was not, now that they've opened up the interchange, there's a lot more traffic that will be taking place on it. But at that time, I didn't want to move. But God had a better plan. God knew something I didn't know, that this would be a better location for us. And now I kind of like the place. You know, and we're I've got my eye, as you well know, on a piece of land across the street. And hopefully, if under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, we may acquire that one of these days. I don't know. But it's time to start doing things differently. It's time to fast and pray. It's time to fast and pray. It's not pray and no fast, and it's not fast and no pray. Those are twin sisters, or twin brothers, if you will, that must be done together. Now, I'm already telling, all right, everybody pay attention. We fasted the first month of January, right? We did that for 3 days. Some of you made it, all right. Some of you struggled for a few days and you couldn't quite make it. Well, here comes your opportunity. Start praying up now. We're going to do it again on the Thursday, the Friday, and the Saturday before Easter, all right? So that'll be known in the Catholic Church around here as Holy Thursday, Holy Friday, Holy Good Friday, and Holy Saturday. We're going to join with the Catholics, except we're going to fast, okay? And I'll give you some more instructions about how to do that. Those of you who don't remember, we'll put it in the bulletin of the different kinds of fast that we can do. But I want you to start preparing yourself to do it now, okay? All right? Some of you have struggled. I want you to, even now, to get yourself prepared. I'm telling you, fasting will break strongholds. And I'm going to give you a list of some things that we can pray about and fast about during that 3 days. And then we'll break out fast for on Easter Sunday morning. So that'll be a good time for us to gather together and do this. But it's time for us to fast and pray. It's time to go out from our doors to the unchurched. It's time to get out of the building, all right? And to go where God has called us to go, into the highways and byways, and bring the good news. And we've been through some training, and we've got the Andrew Bunch all fired up. You know, they're ready to go out and bring the good news to our community. All right, so we'll be doing that, and you'll be finding out more and more about that as we go out. It's time to disrupt our lives to bring harmony to someone else. Nobody wants to get up off the couch when you got your favorite TV program on, if you can find one. All right? Nobody wants to have to go to the church building on more days than we already go. But it's going to take that for us to do that. We're going to have to make ourselves uncomfortable in order to do what God has called us to do. All right? We have to disrupt our own personal lives. It's time for us to bring the love of God to people who feel unloved. People need to know about the love of God that we can bring. Amen? Amen. 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 You guys paying attention to me this morning? Huh? I've sensed all morning that there's something wrong around here, and I don't know what it is, all right? So we just change gears for a little bit, okay? We'll think of something else to think to say for just a few minutes, all right? Let me look at you and see if you're okay. Look at your eyeball to eyeball, see if you're all right. Yeah? You okay, George? You ought to be okay in your shorts. You look pretty good. I tell you, them hairy old legs you got sticking out. Man. Now, he just wanted to prove he still got hair someplace on his body because there's nothing up here. It's all going. I'm picking on George. All right. I want you guys to sense the Holy Spirit, all right? I believe God wants to speak to us and He wants to tell us about some things. You know, there's an imagery in the Scriptures talks about a potter and clay. And you've all heard probably many sermons about that. But I have a guy that I met up in Salt Lake City, Utah, the place where I get my microelectric arm from. One of the ladies who works there, she's the national sales manager. Her husband is a potter. And one of my trips up there, he took me to his studio, and he teaches people how to make pottery from clay. And I discovered something that I didn't know. Clay is hard to work with. When you get it, it's like a brick. I mean, and it's hard, and you can't make pottery out of just any kind of clay. You know, we got this gumbo clay down here in Louisiana. You couldn't make anything out of it. But you have to have the right kind of clay. And then you have to get it warmed up, and you have to soften it to the place where it'll be able to be changed into what you want it to be. And it amazed me that he could take a piece of ugly-looking clay and then, through the skill of his hands, make some of the most beautiful things you've ever seen. While I was there, he showed me some of the stuff his students were making. They need to stay in school. I mean, it was not very pretty at all. I mean, they weren't doing a very good job. But this guy did a wonderful job. As he took that clay and he shaped it. And, you know, the Scriptures talked about us being clay in the potter's hand. And he doesn't have to learn how to do a good job. He just has to get the clay in the condition it needs to be in order to create the vessel that he wants to create. And what this change is doing, the thing that we're going through, is the potter, the master potter, squeezing us, pushing down on us, putting a little liquid on us to get us to the place where we can be on the potter's wheel and he can make out of us what he wants to make. The clay cannot say to the potter, make me this. The clay only yields to the hand of the potter. And that's what I'm talking about this morning. Yielding to the hand of the potter. Forgetting that we're clay and begin to realize that we're vessels of honor in the potter's hand. As he molds us and shapes us and gives us the capacity to be used as he wants to use us. If you take a piece of clay and they put it in a little square, a little cube when they get started, you can't do a thing with it. You could pour something into it and it'll never go into it. But when that clay is massaged properly, when it's put on the potter's wheel, when it's shaped by skilled hands, and when it's fired in the furnace and it has that glaze on it, it makes beautiful cups to drink out of, beautiful bowls to put flowers in, just a magnificent array of things that can be done. And that's what God is doing in us and through us, all right? And I know that sometimes we feel fingers pushing us in a direction we don't want to go. But it's the potter moving us the way he wants us to be. He's shaping us according to his divine plan. He's got a plan for you. He's got a plan for you. And we just need to be willing to be yielded. Lord, use me. Make me into what you want me to be made into. Somebody said, I don't know if this is the right person I'm going to attribute this to, but he's an Italian, so I'll just give him credit. But supposedly Michelangelo was asked about how he took marble and made such beautiful things out of it. And he said that he just took everything that didn't look like what he was going to make and chipped it away. You know, and that's what God does. He just takes the things that don't look like what he wants to make us into, and he begins to remove those things out of our lives. That's why some of you are going through some pressure right now. That's why some of you are going through a little bit of hard time. It's the Holy Spirit doing things. He's shaping us individually and collectively as a body of believers. Does that make sense to you? Does that kind of maybe broaden the picture a little bit to understand all that God has planned for us individually? Okay. I want to talk about another item here. We learn what does work and we press on. We discover the things that will work for us. By the way, what works for you won't necessarily work for me. And what works for me may not necessarily work for you. What works for New Beginnings Church may not work anywhere else. And what works somewhere else may not work here. But we're going to do the things that work for us. Let's look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect. Think of my imagery with the clay. But I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. He said, I press on to these things. Complacency is probably the biggest enemy of the church. We just get comfortable. I spoke to you about that some last week. When I was meeting with Pastor Rod from Bethany, as I went over to pick up to talk to him about picking up that copy machine I told you about earlier, we were having the philosophical discussion of pastors. Pastors like to talk about things that we don't talk to other people about, because nobody would understand why we quit every Monday morning, you know, and come back every Saturday night. You know, there's a reason for that. But he was telling me that he was talking to his body of believers, and some of them told him, well, you know, Pastor Rod, because he's trying to, you know, incorporate some changes in his church. And they said, well, you know, we used to do all that, but we've already paid our dues, and we don't need to do anything anymore. And he told them, show me somewhere one verse. I just asked for one verse that says that you can quit. There ain't any place to quit. The only place you can quit to is to go to the kingdom. But as long as we're here, we have work to do, and we may do things differently, and we may do new jobs and new tasks, but God has called us to do those kinds of things that are anointed by him. We're not called to stay, but we're called to go. And that's what we should be doing. We should be going. This church is moving. We're moving in a good direction. We're not trying to get past the inertia of not moving, because we've already done that. But we're going in a direction as the Holy Spirit leads us. There's always something more we can do, and there's always something more that we can learn. Now, you might say, well, you know, Pastor, I don't need to go to those classes. I don't need to go to the 101 class or the 201 class or the new attendees class because I know it all. You wouldn't say it quite like that, but that's what we do. I don't need to go to the Andrew class and the Abraham class and the Timothy class. And I don't need. What are y'all doing anyway? I thought we were in the New Testament. What are you doing all in the Old Testament, God? But it's having the ability to say, Lord, I'm willing to learn some new things. You never get it all figured out. But it's being willing to learn new things. You know, in many occupations in our nation, they force you to go back and continue your education to keep your skills tuned up. Airline pilots don't graduate from airline pilot school and quit school. They need to keep going, and thank God. I'm glad they're still practicing. I don't know if y'all saw that plane last week that the front wheel was having some problems on it. They had 135 passengers on board. And thank goodness that those pilots had practiced and knew what to do so that plane came down and was able to land safely. And while that was all going on, they had it live on TV. Some of you may have seen it. And they were talking to pilots on the ground. And they said, oh, they take us to trainers. And we train to do this all the time. We know exactly what to do. We know how to land the plane, keep the weight on the back wheels until such time as the speed decreases enough that we can softly put it down on the front landing gear. So I said, we know how to do this. We've been trained to do it. And we continue our training. So we need to continue our training so that when something does go wrong, we'll know what to do. Pastor Wayne gave us a spiritual gifted test. Some of us thought that we already knew everything. And then we took the test and we found out we've got some things that we didn't even know we had. We learned some things about ourselves. By the way, if you didn't or were unable to meet with me to go over your spiritual gifted test and you did take the test, please see me and we'll make an appointment with you, with me, to go through the test with you. All right? It doesn't take but 30 minutes to do it at the most. But it'd be a good time for you to go through that if you haven't already done it, okay? You wouldn't want me to call you out by name or turn your papers over to Wayne. You don't tell him what he might do. Man, Father Wayne, but just don't tell him what he might do. But we've learned some things. We've learned about Abraham, learned how to pray. You know what's happening around here? People were here early this morning praying. They were walking all over the building, laying hands on the doors and the pews. And then when they laid hands on everything else, they put me in the office back here and laid hands on me and prayed for me before I came out here to preach this morning. That is awesome. That is awesome. That is fruit of learning a new skill. We've got people who went through the Andrew class about evangelism. Everybody knows who went through that class. They've got their Bible chock full of little marks and little notes so that if they meet somebody, they can lead them to the Lord. They know how to do it now. It's a new skill. Some had done it before and went through the Andrew class, but now they know an even better way. And we're going to take these evangelists, these ones who have been through Andrew, and we're going to send them out. They're going to go out and to visit the guests who come to our church. They're going to go to places and maybe knock on a few doors or and kind of cold call and bring the good news to people. So they've been trained to know how to do that. And while they're doing that, the Andrew group is going to be praying for them. So that they'll have everything they need as they go out. So that's all part of what we've learned how to do. We have the Timothy group, the discipleship group. Those who are going to help people grow. To spend time with people. We spoke about in that particular class of how it's not enough to win people to the Lord, but we need to take and make sure that they grow in the Lord. So often we just win them to God and then just hope God finishes the job. You know, a lot of people never get the job finished. Pastor Wayne, I know I keep talking about him this morning, but he was a very integral part of everything that took place here. And he talked about how when he became a believer, nobody picked him up. Nobody showed him what to do. And as a result, he spent a lot of time just bouncing around as a believer until he finally got to the right place where somebody began to teach him some of the things that he needed to know. Now, by the way, for some of you who believe, well, you know, I believe the Holy Spirit can teach me everything I need to know. If that's true, why did God put in the church apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists? What are they for? What am I for? In the words of the attorney for Oliver North during his Iran, not Iran Contra, but the, what was it, the name of that thing? You remember when Oliver North was running before Congress? Anyway, they were having all of this big thing in front of the congressional committee, and the attorney said, who was his attorney, said, what am I, a potted plant? I can't say something here, you know? So as we learn and we get these skills, and then God can use us in a new and an exciting way, all right? And it's fun doing the things that God has called us to do because we're doing it collectively together, and we're going to help people to grow. We're going to spend time with them. Take them to our homes and take them to restaurants and go do fun things together and spend time together learning about the things of God through discipleship. And then the Barnabas ministry, the care ministry, which is the biggest function in our church. It's doing all the things that need to be due, from the kitchen to the teaching to the keeping the building maintained and all the various things that go along with that. And now the Barnabas group knows how important that is. It's important that the things that need to be done get done. I was looking back here because we were supposed to do that yesterday. We didn't get a chance to do it because we were doing all that. But that little thing's going to get fixed. Remember I told you about looking at our building is the way our guests see the building, all right? So that's all part of the Barnabas ministry. So that's what that's all about. Next week, this coming Wednesday, we're going to be introducing the new leadership for these areas, all right? And nobody at this point knows we've got it hermetically sealed in an envelope in a mayonnaise jar, all right? I mean, I was so careful, I put a cover sheet over it that said, you know, if you find this is confidential information, don't read it, just give it to Pastor Morris, all right? So we want to make sure that nobody knows that it's going to be an exciting Wednesday as we present all the things that God has pointed out through your spiritual gifted test and the classes you've been through. So you don't want to miss that. It's going to be an exciting thing here at New Beginnings Church, all right? And there's still room for more. You know, if you didn't make it this trip, we're doing it again, okay? So don't think, well, I just wasn't here long enough or I didn't have time. We're going to do it again and we're going to keep doing it. It's going to be an ongoing training of our church to get new people who come here and those who haven't been through the training to get the skills that they need, all right? New classes next week at 9 o'clock, the new attendees class, we'll do that again. The 101 class is for new believers. The 201 class is a discipleship class. So you want to be here for that, all right? 9 a.m., we're going to have donuts and coffee. And Percy's getting pretty good. The first pot of coffee he made for us a couple of weeks ago wasn't too good. The second one was better. The third was even better. The guy's working on it. I mean, in fact, it was so good last week, they drank all the coffee and came back for more. Isn't that right, Percy? They were looking for that second cup of coffee, all right? We're going to change the, you think Starbucks has got something? We're going to start a new chain. We're going to call it Percy's, all right? And it'll be the best coffee you can get. Sounds like a business deal to me. I'll tell you what, we'll get some money, we'll make that happen, okay? He's saying amen back there. So this is all part of what we're doing. And be a part of it, all right? Come here. The new time for New Beginnings to start services, we have a new time. It's 9 a.m. Doesn't start at 10, it starts at 9. Because that's where all the classes and all the activities going on. So you want to be here for that. And then the service for the regular people. For the regular people is going to be at 10 o'clock. But for all of us fired up people, it's going to be here at 9 o'clock doing all the things that needs to be done. Okay? Now, the next thing I want to talk about is that we're moving towards the goal. All right? We're moving towards the goal. And let's look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. Paul said, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All right? So Paul said he knew where he was going and he knew why he was going there. Seeing the goal is not enough. You know, I'm painting the picture for you what the goal is. We need to be motivated to reach the goal. We need to motivate ourselves. They won't lock you up for this, but sometimes you need to talk to yourself. You need to say, self, you can do this. Look in the mirror and talk to yourself. And tell yourself that you're in control and not your mind and not your body and not all the other things that control you. And say, self, you can do this. We're going to be a part of a great move of God here at New Beginnings Church, and make yourself do it, okay? Paul looked past all the hard work for the goal that was set before him. Farmers plant so they can sow. Farmers don't plant to plant. The joy is the sowing and reaping of what they plant. Runners run to win. They don't run for the sake of running, unless they're on a treadmill down at the Slidell Athletic Club or Cross Gates. That's a little bit different when you're trying to keep your cardiovascular system going. But when you're in a race, you run to win. My brother-in-law, who was a track coach, and when he was coaching here in Slidell at Salmon High School, virtually every year, Salmon won state championships. You know why? He is a winner. And he knows how to win. He says, you know what second place is? He said, that's the first person to lose. And he's not for second place. He's for number one place. And he knows how to pull out of people the ability to be winners. You know, in all of life, we're geared towards winning. We like winners, don't we? Heaven forbid if the saints, or maybe I should rephrase that, heaven permit that the Saints should one day win the Super Bowl. I mean, everybody, some of you diehard Saints fans, you've been pulling for the Saints and pulling for the Saints. Some of you want to win so bad, you're starting to pull for the Hornets. And you don't even like basketball. It's to get a winner, right? When you have a spelling bee, somebody wants to win, don't they? If you go to a horse race, somebody wants the horse to win. If you're playing Monopoly, somebody wants to win. No matter what game, we always want to win. Why is it that when we come to church, we have a losing attitude? We seem to lose our desire to win, to be the best, to be number one, to set the high stage and a high standard. But we ought to do that individually. Start seeing ourselves as winners and say, you know, I'm going to pay the price it takes to win. You know how God, you know why men win races? Because they pay the price to win. They don't, you know, only in the movies does Forrest Gump become a world runner. Only in the movies. In the real world, you got to practice to do it. If you want to play a musical instrument and be the best, you want to be like Marcellus, what's his name, Bradford Marcellus. If you want to be like him, you need to play when you're a little kid and practice. I knew a guy who grew up with Pete Fountain, and he told me when Pete Fountain was a boy, all the other kids were going out to play ball and, you know, have fun and do all that. He said everywhere he went, Pete Fountain carried his clarinet. All he wanted to do was play the clarinet. And he became a world-renowned person in the music world because he paid the price. And so it does. There is a price, but you look to the goal, not to the work. You're looking for where you want to be, not what you have to do to get there. You know, they got a machine down at the gym. It was created by some person who just knew how to really hurt people. It's an elliptical machine. And those who have been to the gym know what it is, all right? Well, when I first started going to the gym, I would get on a treadmill. Well, I could do that. I could, you know, walk. I could speed it up a little bit so I could do all right. But I kept seeing people on these elliptical machines. I thought, I could do that. Well, I went and got on that thing. Well, first of all, you ought to try to hold on to it with just one hand. All right, that's the number one thing, all right? But I managed to do that, and I thought, man, I could stay on this thing for 20 minutes. The first time I got on it, 3 minutes, and I was going, I said, oh, man, I shouldn't be doing this to myself. But, you know, it just challenged me. So the next time I went to the gym, I got on it. And I said, I know I can do 3 minutes. So I just kept at it, and I got to do 3 minutes. Now I can do 30 minutes on it without even breathing hard. You know? Just working at it. But I'm not interested in the elliptical machine. I'm interested in the prize of being able to do it. To be able to tell somebody, you know? Because I'll talk to some of you going to the gym, and now I say with all assurance, I got, have you been on the elliptical machine? You know? And the ones who have been on said, oh, yeah! You know? So it's the, you see what I'm getting to? We're looking to the goal. We're not looking to the process. The process may not be easy. Our goal is to build a church, not to build a church, but to build a community of believers. That's what we're called to do. We're like the watchman in Ezekiel. You know, we need to sound the warning for the world. They need to know. The world needs to know about what we have that can rescue them from wherever they are in life. We have an awesome message to proclaim, and that message is the story of Jesus Christ. Amen? All right, finally, we cannot ignore our high calling. Let's look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 21 through 24. I want you to listen to Paul's heart, all right? He's just another human being, just like you and I. You know, he woke up in the morning, sometimes he hurt, sometimes he felt good. You know, he had his up days and his down days, just like everyone else, and this is what he wrote. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Wow, what a statement, huh? What a statement. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what should I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. As long as there's life in us, we can do what God has called us to do. And there is a work for us to do, and we will do that. Paul was weary. He had been beaten. He had been stoned. He had been misunderstood. He had been deserted. He was put in chains and prisons and all the horrible things that he did. And yet he saw his calling as more important than going to heaven. Now, he's one of the few people that knows something that you and I don't know, because he said that he had been into the heavens and he saw things that it wasn't lawful for a man to talk about. So he knew in a more vivid way what you and I see by faith. He had seen by sight. And he knew that to die was gain. That he would be in a place that God had prepared for him to be to. That Jesus had gone ahead and said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And Paul's heart said, oh Lord, get me out of this place. This world doesn't hold a thing for me. And yet as he reflected about that, he said, but, if I stay here, I can still make a difference. And I want you to know, beloved, that you can still make a difference. You can make a difference in somebody's life. This morning, little Jordan came up to me. How old is Jordan? 5, 6 years old. Man, I'll tell you what. Thank God for godly parents. Little Jordan came up to me, and I was sitting there, and he said something, and I said, what did you say? He said, I prayed for Miss Summer last night. Whoa, man, is that priceless? What? A little boy growing up? And I told him, I said, what you're learning how to do now, praying, when you get to be an old man like me, you will still be praying, and God hears your prayers. You know, we can make an impact. You know, one of the hardest things we have to do is to find people to work with our kids. And I know it's a tough job. Amen. It's a tough job. Amen for my. It is a tough job. But that's new clay that we can shape. Okay? That's new clay we can shape. And those children need us. They need us. We have the ability to do something for them that they cannot do for themselves. And we need to take that on as a challenge to touch those children's lives. To be able to pour into them the truth that God has been pouring into you. And to help them grow. God, have mercy on us as a nation and a world if we don't teach our children what they need to know. If they don't get it, their parents need to be doing what they can, but parents need to be supplemented with what we can do. We can help. We need to work with kids. We need to be willing to pay the price for others to have what we have the truth about. Your calling by God is more important than your calling home. When it's over, when it's time to go home, God will take you home. And what a glorious day that'll be. I've had the privilege of being at the bedside of my mother-in-law, a saint of the Lord, my mom and my dad, saints of the Lord, and bid them farewell as they went into the kingdom of God. And if I would have had the power in my hands to bring them back, I wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't have called them back. Because they know what Paul knew. They today are enjoying the fruits of their labor. But for us, to die is gain, but to live is Christ. We still have a work to do. There are parents, elderly people who need to know about Christ. There are young people who need to know about Christ. There are children that need to know about Christ. And as long as we have breath and strength to do it, we need to do what God has called us to do. Amen? We need to do what God has called us to do. One day we can walk the streets of gold, but until then, we need to walk the streets of St. Tammany Parish, okay? One day we'll be on the streets of gold, but today we walk the streets right here. One day we'll drink from the river of life, but today we must thirst for souls. Ask God to give you a thirst for souls, for people's lives, that you'd be willing to do whatever it takes. Whether it's maintaining the building, making sure the lights are working, hanging TV monitors. I appreciate these guys. They gave up their Saturday to be down here to put this thing up for us so that the choir could come up here and be able to see the words. Thank God for it. And these wives who let them come. Who let them come. They didn't say, oh, well, you got too many things to do here. What are you doing going down to the church? No, they let them come. And they came and worked so that we could have something. And I appreciate that. That means a lot to me. It means a lot to the church. It will mean a lot to people on Easter Sunday. Not on Easter Sunday, but on Palm Sunday when they come here. And let me give you a commercial, folks. I've seen the practice that these guys are doing. You want to get as many people as you can, including yourself, to be here for that. It is going to be awesome. They've got some songs they're singing will knock your socks off. It is really good. I'm amazed at the talent we have in this church. And that's going to be on Palm Sunday, our Easter play. Take some of those invitations back there and give them to people so that they will know to come. I'd invite you to come early. Otherwise, you may have to stand up through the whole thing. But one day we can rest. But right now, let's thirst for people and bring them here. One day we'll see Jesus face to face. But until then, we need to let people see the Jesus in us. Amen? One day, many years ago, I had a most startling thing happen to me. Pat and I were ministering to a young woman whose life was really a wreck. And she was at our house, and we were trying to share Christ with her and share the gospel and to give her a peace that she needed so desperately in her life. And she was sitting on a sofa across from Pat and I, and she got startled. And she went, and she took in a breath and just made a strange sign. And I didn't know what had happened. And I thought, it was out of the context of what we were doing. And so I said to her, what's wrong? What's wrong? And she kept staring at me. I mean, she was just focusing on me in a way I'd never been looked at before. And said, what's wrong? She said, I see Christ in you. She couldn't see me anymore, but she saw the Christ in me radiating out. And it changed her life. And the same Christ that I have been radiating in me is the same Christ that is in you. And when people hear your voice, they hear the voice of God. When they feel your touch, they feel the touch of God. When you show up at their door, God has just showed up at their door. When you minister to children, Christ is ministering to children. That's who we are. Paul said it this way. We are the very body of Christ. We are His body. That's what we'll be doing. That's what we'll be functioning as. That's what we're going to be doing. And I'm so thankful that you have decided to join with me to get this job done. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. I know that some of you have asked about prayer this morning. And so I want to take just a few minutes to pray for those who asked for prayer. Evans has asked for prayer. And there was someone else, I believe, Brian. She's back there hacking and coughing. And so I want you to come on down here, Brian. I want to pray for you, all right? Some of our altar workers could just come down. And come here, Evan. Hallelujah. Let's tell me who we're praying for again.
My neighbor, Scott, and his wife.
Okay.
Sherry is her name.
Okay. And what do they need?
They need God, but they're separated.
Yeah.
And I just want to pray that God brings them together.
Okay.
And stops the evil work that's started.
Okay. So he's going to stand in for a family whose family's being torn apart. Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this man of faith who came here this morning. Not asking for himself, but asking for someone else. And Father, I agree with him right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That you will intervene in this family, Lord. For these children, Lord. That they won't have to grow up in a broken home wondering about if they caused it or going through all the pain that they would have. But Father, we declare that you will intervene in this family's life. Lord, I ask you to use Evan, Father, to do that. Father, that he'll bring life and truth and healing to this family. And Father, that some way, somehow, through your divine, miraculous hand, that this family would be restored.
Yes.
Father, we ask for this, Lord. Not for ourselves, but for them. Lord, you can do it, Lord. You can make the bitterness disappear. You can heal the wounds, Lord. You can tear down the walls that have been built. Lord, and you can make a family out of that which the devil tried to tear apart. And Father, we declare it is so, and we ask for it, Father. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Evan, I encourage you to invite them to come for Palm Sunday. It'll be a good thing for them, thank you.
You are the captain of the Lord's army.
Yes.
And Lord, just as your warriors, as your people, we come in the name of the Lord Jesus. We bind the work of the devil, cast it to the earth. We loose these people from the grips of the enemy and from the lies and the deception, that all that would fall to the earth.
Yes,
Lord. Lord, that your word would be loosed in their lives and have dominion over them.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, that every imagination, Lord Jesus, every stronghold, would be just destroyed.
Yes, Lord.
Cast to the earth, never to rise.
Yes,
and that the truth